I wonder if this game is a little more overshadowed because I don't think we really know how good either of these two teams are.
Right.
They both have perfect records, but Penn State's faced the 90th rated schedule in the country. Michigan's faced the 95th rated schedule in the country. Like the Penn State win at Auburn, it's like, yeah, okay, Auburn's terrible. Maybe Michigan, okay, you beat Iowa. I don't think we really know how good either of these teams are.
That's right. I mean, we don't necessarily know what these teams are at this point. I mean, it is week 7, you know, so hopefully at some point the quality of these teams will reveal themselves. I mean, goodness gracious, we did actually have a year, though, where this was 2014. It was the first year of the college football playoff. You remember this? Florida State was undefeated, and yet they looked awful in the process. So we're sitting there. It's like, why does Florida State look so bad, but yet they're undefeated? This team finds a way. They're so good. They're so resilient. And then they play Oregon and get their doors blown off. So maybe we won't know anything about any of these teams until playoff time, and then you really find out. But who knows? Welcome to the Thursday edition of Always College Football. Today is October 13th. We appreciate you being with us. It's been a blast being with you all week this week. I've had some great conversations. I've had some great interviews. And another one comes at you today as Chris the Bear Felica will join us like he does every single Thursday. We're going to try to make you money right here on Always College Football. So without much further ado, let's talk about it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Every college football season, Goodyear knows the importance of winning on the road. The road will always demand confidence, the confidence to handle whatever the journey brings and to perform under tough conditions. And just like the players and the fans of college football, Goodyear is ready. Are you ready for the road? Visit Goodyear.com to find the right Goodyear tires for whatever road you're on this season. Goodyear, more driven. All right, well, welcome in every single Thursday. He's Chris the Bear Felica. Time to make you some money. Bear, I checked the column the other day, and this was going into last week. A cool 21-8 against the spread.
Yeah, how about that?
Not bad.
No, not bad at all.
21-8, that will get you paid. That is being on the winning side of things, that's for sure, Bear. So good start, man. Let's finish strong.
Thank you, sir.
As we're at the midway point. All right, let's take a peek at it this week. Few things coming up. Let's start with tonight's action. A couple games that really caught my eye. I really like the card this week, I might add. Just start there, okay? I really like the card this week. I'm hoping that you do as well. Let's start with tonight. Baylor and West Virginia. This line opened at 2.5, quickly steamed to 3.5. And I'm leaning towards West Virginia, Bear. I want that field goal with the hook at home. And I think West Virginia in a desperate situation might be able to get it done against the Bears, but that defense concerns me for West Virginia a little bit too, especially with the Bears coming off a bye. So what do you make of this game?
Yeah, it was the latter part of your statement is what would concern me, a West Virginia defense that can certainly give up some big plays and kind of get pushed around, certainly against Baylor off of the idle week, coming off the loss against Oklahoma State and the way Grimes and Chapin can really run that offense. So, yeah, I would play Baylor if I had to play the game. I ultimately don't have, like, before the year started, I thought West Virginia was a team that I really had no idea what way it was going to go, and nothing would surprise me. I still don't have a great feel on the Mountaineers, but I tend to lean towards the I guess let's just say them being less than less good than I would have expected them to be.
Fair enough.
I guess that's the best way of saying it.
I think that's a very fair way of summing it all up. Tomorrow night's action, SMU and Navy. SMU trying to get back on track, had that awful performance against UCF, especially in the second half.
How bad was like I understand it though, with all the stuff that's going on with the players asking for the 4-game deal, that way they can that seems like that ship could go south really quickly.
It could, but you still have good players. Like, you still have good wideouts. You still have a good quarterback. Like, yes, okay, maybe the culture is on shaky footing, but man, there's nothing I've seen from Navy up to this point to make me feel like they can keep it close. So I kind of like SMU in a bounce back spot. That line opened 12.5 up to 13 right now in some places, can still get it at 12.5 in others. But right now, any action on the Friday slate, Bear, before we get to Saturday?
No, this is actually good. This would be a nice Friday to be able to kick back, get to bed early on Friday and rest up for what's going to be a massive Saturday.
You don't like that Friday night squeeze, staying up past midnight, knowing you got an early morning?
It's funny because last week Houston was my play in the last man standing contest that a buddy of mine and I kind of split out there in Vegas. And Houston was our play. And right after they got stopped on the 1-yard line or whatever, and it looked like Memphis was going to go 99 yards to go up. I guess it would have made it 24-10 maybe at the time. And they were about to go in. And I just flipped the channel. I think they had first and goal before I flipped the channel. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. I've seen enough Houston football this year. And went to bed all upset and angry and mad that my last man standing run was over. And then I woke up and you see a bunch of texts on the phone, like before you.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't look at them first. And I'm like, let me just check the scores. Cause I'm like, I knew Nevada played Colorado State and I got a Nevada season win total under. So I'm like, maybe I got lucky in with the boys from Fort Collins. And I clicked on the scores and the first thing I saw was like the bold arrow Houston 30. I'm like, what? and then I had to go back and read the text chain. So, yeah, I went to bed early last Friday night, and it turned out I missed a really wild fourth quarter.
Waking up to a winner.
More story. Never turn in early.
Yeah, I'm about to say it's it. But the good thing, it's better to wake up to a winner than to wake up to a loser, Bear. I think we've both been on that side of the coin.
Yes.
Regardless of how many games you've played in your career, it's easy to wake up to. That's for sure. Let's get started with one of the games of the weekend. You're going to be there for game day, Alabama at Tennessee. This line's at 7.5. Everyone and their brother seems to be on Tennessee right now. And understandably so. I thought Tennessee looked phenomenal last week.
They were awesome last week.
They were fantastic last week. Bama, lethargic, not a great performance. Backup quarterback in the game. Still questions about Bryce Young, whether or not he plays. He doesn't play. I think he's going to. But I'm leaning Bama here in this spot, Bear. And it's partly because of where the line opened up and the amount of tickets that are already coming in on the Volunteers right now. 83% of the tickets on the Tennessee Volunteers, 77% of the money on the Volunteers, and yet that line is stagnant at 7.5.
Yeah, it's Alabama and or pass from me as well. You hit on the number at 7.5. It's basically, okay, everybody hop on the home dog plus the hook in a situation where everyone's talking about Bryce Young and is he going to play, not going to play. I think he is going to play. I agree with you, Greg. On the other side, I don't think we've heard definitively Cedric Tillman, yes or no for Tennessee. They can get away with that against Florida and Pitt and well, not Pitt, but LSU. They're okay, but that's going to be – if he can't go Saturday, that is a massive deal.
Right.
And you just look at the rivalry, you can kind of make the case and twist the numbers both ways. Last 11 games against Florida, and last 11 meetings against Alabama and Georgia, they've lost by an average of 31 points a game and none closer than 22. And if you go back to just Alabama, it's 15 straight losses by 26 points a game. And only two have been decided by fewer than 14 points. Then you just come to the flip side of you want to make the case for Tennessee. First time since 2008, they're a single-digit underdog. And if you look at Alabama, last 14 games versus SEC opponents, 8 have either been a loss or a single-digit win. and that's the same number that they had in the previous 49 games.
Right.
So, like, maybe it's the perfect situation for Tennessee and their to get that win that they're so desperately seeking, try and get through. But I mean, just knowing what I have observed as a college football fan, reporter, whatever you want to call me, idiot, I think this is probably a spot where you're going to get Alabama's best game.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you playing for Nick Saban and you playing at Alabama off of the performance they had last week with the backup quarterback in there. Some other things went on. If you do get Bryce back, like I would expect Alabama to probably come out and play their best game of the year. But at the same time, I do understand those who do want to take Tennessee plus the points here.
It makes perfect sense. And I, believe me, it's not one of those where it's like, oh, yeah, this is Bama. What a lock. No, like this is a tricky one because I think Tennessee actually matches up really well against Alabama. But the line and where it's at and seeing just how public Tennessee is, it makes me feel very hesitant to jump on that side. It feels a little bit like when everyone and their brother took Alabama as an underdog against Georgia in the national championship game, only to see Georgia ultimately get the job done. Let's move next to a game involving top 10 teams as well. This is Penn State and Michigan, a game that's a little bit overshadowed by the Bama-Tennessee game, but probably shouldn't be. I don't know why it is. This line, to me, opened up. The books were all over the place on the open, Bear. Some books had it at 10. Some books had it at 6.5. It's settled now in there around 7 in favor of Michigan. I lean Penn State. I think this is going to be a really close game. And both teams, I think, Michigan's more battle-tested, but Penn State I expect to play really well here. So I would take the points on the road with the Nittany Lions. Do you have a lean?
Yeah, I would agree with you in taking Penn State. I wonder if this game is a little more overshadowed because I don't think we really know how good either of these two teams are.
Right.
They both have perfect records, but Penn State's faced the 90th rated schedule in the country. Michigan's faced the 95th rated schedule in the country. Like the Penn State win at Auburn, it's like, yeah, okay, Auburn's terrible. Maybe Michigan, okay, you beat Iowa. I don't think we really know how good either of these teams are. I think the best unit on the field is the Penn State defense. So that would give me an edge in taking Penn State on the road plus the 7 points. The one thing that – when we talk about Tennessee and them really needing that breakthrough win and their fans dying for it, like you look at Penn State under James Franklin, 2-13 versus top 10 teams. Mm. And since upsetting Wisconsin to win that 2016 Big Ten championship game, 0-9. However – 5 of them were decided by 4 points or fewer. So, like, they're getting – like they're close. They're in these games, but something always goes – whether it's a decision, a turnover, something happens ultimately where the Nittany Lions don't pull it out. But I think getting 7 points here when you've got a really good secondary against the Michigan team that we still don't know how great their pass offense is Corum, Donovan. Are they going to be able to get that push up front to be able to run the ball against a good Penn State defense? I don't know. I'm with you. I would lean Penn State.
Yeah, that's the side. The line that makes no sense of the week that is just, to me, mind-boggling. Oklahoma, a 9-point favorite right now against Kansas. You can only imagine the amount of tickets that are coming in on the Jayhawks. 89% of the tickets on the Jayhawks, 73% of the money. And yet this line opened at 7.5 and is now up to 9, just welcoming those Jayhawk tickets and welcoming that Jayhawk money. Now, I'm sure some of this had to do with Jalen Daniels' injury, but Bean looked pretty good in relief last week, Bear. How can you possibly lay north of a touchdown with the Sooners?
You can if Dylan Gabriel plays. Like I have to – it's on my list of like things to do this week is to get the splits of Oklahoma offense with Dylan Gabriel in the game and without him. Since he got hurt, obviously their offense has been terrible, but they've looked pretty good on offense with him. The problem's going to be the defense.
Right.
The defense has given up, 30 more points than any other team in the Big 12. They've scored the third fewest points as a result of Gabriel being out. But I would – if I had to play the game, I'd lay the points, because you wonder now that Kansas suffered that loss and now you're on your backup quarterback, like, does that tend to lead the season down and unfortunate, but where maybe they, I think they're too well coached for it to really spiral out of control. I think the culture there is great. But the injury to Daniels does trouble me, especially against an offense that's going to be pretty desperate. The start of the game is going to be so important here, because that's a fan base that if they start poorly, they're going to hear about it. Oh, yeah. I would expect Dylan Gabriel to play. I would expect the Oklahoma offense to get right. I would expect a high scoring game. I would lay the points with OU. This is going to be a contrarian favorite week. I think seriously, because there are a lot of underdogs out there that are going to be massive public underdogs. We've hit on a couple already. I think Oklahoma State's going to be one. I think USC is going to be one.
Right.
So if you are a favorite player, this could be your week, because I think the books are going to wind up needing a lot of favorites this week.
Yeah, it does seem like a favorite week for sure. And I am not I'm not usually into the favorites. I for one like unders and dogs. And this week doesn't feel like a week where I'm following my instincts. Let's get next to another really interesting dog. On the road at Utah is USC. They're now 3.5-point dogs playing against the 20th ranked Utes. Now, I think Utah's got a lot of issues on defense. Now, I think UCLA's UCLA's very good on offense, and it's probably going to look worse than it actually is. But Utah's got major issues on defense. I don't think they could stop USC, but I also don't think SC's really clicking offensively right now. I think that, if anything, they're kind of struggling. So in what might be a shootout, do you favor the team that's at home, being Utah?
You probably do, and this is another game where the line is telling you a lot. You've got the 6-0 team that's an underdog to a team with two losses. If you go back since 2015, there have been 15 instances where you've had a situation like that. 6-0 or better, dog versus a team with two losses. Those 15 teams are 3-12 straight up. So, like, the numbers and the power ratings, I think you need to trust here. But you're right. This is probably an over-type game. Right. Because I think you mentioned it. Like, everyone, I think, last week kind of got caught up a little bit in the Utah defense, Utah up front, physicality, dominating. This is a different Utah. They are not built like that right now.
Right.
They're a little smallish. And UCLA really controlled the line of scrimmage and just went up and down the field. I would lean towards Utah here just because I have not been super impressed with the USC defense. Caleb's been a little off the last couple of games as well. And you know at some point they're going to have that game where they don't ultimately win the turnover battle and things potentially go wrong. Mm-hmm. So I think Salt Lake is a really good opportunity for that to happen. I would lay the points with Utah.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. I feel like, yes, last week they had some drives that were extended by penalty. Like, Travis Dye was amazing. But, man, at some point, SC is going to lose. This team is not, to me, operating or clicking on all cylinders. At some point, they're going to get got. And it might be this week as Utah is in desperation mode with their season kind of hanging in the balance at 4-2. Let's go next to Fort Worth. You referenced it. Oklahoma State currently a 4-point dog at TCU. I love TCU. I do. I think they're excellent. And I love both quarterbacks in this matchup. But, man, I think we are completely overlooking what Oklahoma State's done up to this point. Now, last week was far from a flawless performance from Spencer Sanders. I think Oklahoma State is far from flawless in general. But I also am not overwhelmingly impressed with TCU defensively. So I kind of lean Spencer Sanders and Oklahoma State here getting points in a game in which I think it's a coin toss as far as personnel.
Well, this is the depending on what the line closes at, these are the types of games we've talked about it, that Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State has been really good. These games that are three and a half, like either way, favorite underdog, how they've really succeeded and won a good number of those games. But I worry a little bit that Oklahoma State is a little fugazi, I guess would be fugazi, however you want to say it. I went back and looked. You look at the 15 undefeated teams remaining, and I looked at how their offense and defense perform if you take the adjusted expected points. Like Oklahoma State ranks 11th among the 15th offensive teams and 12th amongst the 15 teams in defense. So it's like their numbers really aren't super good. Like the only teams there without a top being in the rank in the top 10, either offensively or defensively, are Oklahoma State and Coastal Carolina. Mm. So like, I don't know here. Like, look, they got the win at Baylor. They got the win against Texas Tech, but something tells me TCU is going to play a heck of a lot better defensively this week at home. And that offense right now is just absolutely clicking on all cylinders. Usually I like Oklahoma State in a perceived close game like this, but I think the Horned Frogs bounce back this week, play well at home, and I would lean towards laying the points here with TCU despite some of their defensive shortcomings.
And very
this could be one of those, this could be one of those traditional Big Ten, absolute ridiculous. You're going to look up, and it's going to be 49-45.
Oh yeah, Big 12 matchup. Yes, I think it does have the old school Big 12 like defense is optional type of game feel. Even though the Big 12's gotten a lot better on defense, I might add, a lot better. But this game is going to reflect back to like 7 years ago when it was two hand touch at sometimes. Let's look at Clemson and Florida State. This line I think shocked a lot of people. Bear,
yes,
a lot of people looking at Clemson saying, how the heck? Florida State just lost to NC State, couldn't do anything in the second half, and yet NC State was without their starting quarterback. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are looking at this saying, how can you possibly not bet the house on Clemson laying 5? Well, that line is now down to 3.5, 81% of the tickets on the Clemson Tigers. I love the Noles in this spot and probably shouldn't. Talk me in or out of it, Bear.
No, you probably should or probably shouldn't love FSU.
Well, I think I should because of how public Clemson is, but my goodness, that line stinks.
Yeah, I was really, really surprised when this number came out. I thought it might be a situation where maybe the number actually gets bet up to like 6 or 6.5. Because when I saw the opener at like whatever it was, or I saw it at 4, 4.5, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm like, either the books have zero respect for Clemson or a ton of respect for Florida State. And I think I basically settled on the under in this game because Clemson's defense, I think, is going to make life miserable up front for the Florida State offense. But at the same time, I can see a scenario where what's the weakness of the Clemson defense? It's the secondary. Florida State does have some guys on the outside who I think could cause them some problems. But boy, that front seven makes it really, really hard to back Florida State with a great deal of certainty. So I'm going to stay away from this game because I think you can make an argument for the way you have attacked the game and the way you are seeing it and liking Florida State, the number tells me Florida State is the right side, and how you bet it makes me think that you are on the right side. But I'm just looking forward to be in there Saturday and seeing how this thing plays out. Because I think it's funny because I think Clemson now is in that spot that Dabo kind of likes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're undefeated and still kind of not really respected and people aren't. And is DJ really improved? Or like, I mean, they struggled for about 3 quarters last week against a bad BC team on the road. So this is going to be a massive test for them going on the road against a team with a heck of a lot more talent than BC.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, man. It's, you know, it's far from a certainty here that I feel great about it. It's a line that stinks, and I like Florida State this year a lot, and I'm still not at a position. I think Florida State's defense is pretty dang good. I really do. I think they're very solid. So we'll see whether or not they can disrupt things for DJ Uiagalelei. Still a few more games I want to get to. Some very intriguing lines to me. NC State on the road at Syracuse. Can't imagine Devin Leary is going to go. I think he's out.
Can't you read between the lines with what Dave Doran said? That's
what it seems like.
They hope to get him back this year. It could be 6 weeks. I can't imagine him playing this week. And this feels like a like a dead under type of game, because you're dealing with the Syracuse offense that, while Garrett Schrader has been pretty good, you're going against a very good defense in NC State that should probably be able to snuff out a lot of what they do offensively. But like, how, I don't know how you can play this game not fully knowing for sure if Leary isn't playing. I think you can, if you are looking to play it, I would assume that he's not. But at the same time, this is a Syracuse team that really should have lost to Purdue, really should have lost to Virginia, who's awful. Like, I don't know. You want to get behind laying 3.5, 4 points at home with a team that's probably not one of the stronger undefeated teams out there, and I think they're probably just laying points. It's basically the line is what the line is because they're at home, and NC State's not going to have their quarterback. And if they don't, I mean, we saw that they couldn't complete a forward pass last week. So under, I think, would be the play for me. Maybe a or just both team totals under as well, because I can't see this one being a very high scoring game.
42.5 currently the total there between NC State and Syracuse. Minnesota and Illinois, still no word yet on Illinois whether Tommy DeVito will be available as of right now as we're sitting here taping this. No word yet. That line down from 40.5 to 39.5. Minnesota's been great on defense. Mo Ibrahim too, by the way. No word on whether or not he's going to play, but I'd assume
I've read that he's expected to play.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he didn't. But the line right now at 6.5 would tell me that DeVito very much up in the air. And if it's Sitkowski, I know there's a run first approach.
You can't play Illinois. If it's Sitkowski, you cannot play Illinois.
Can't do it. But if it's Tommy DeVito, it's full go to me. I like the Illini at home. Yeah. They're playing well. And shoot, if I can buy it up to 7 and maybe get that touchdown, that key football number, man, I love the Illini in this spot. But I got to find out about the health of their quarterback.
Right. And there are a ton of quarterback issues out there. And I got burned by one last week, knowing that Malik Cunningham wasn't going to play. So I took Virginia on the board instead of Notre Dame against BYU. One was an easy winner, and one was a recipient of the closing line value dumpster fire. So
right.
Even sometimes you know things, you get information, and you're getting the best of the number. It's still not a winner, but I think in this instance, if you get some information on DeVito one way or another, I think that this is, of all the games out there that have some quarterback and some injury questions, this is the one where the injury, I think, is really most vital, because without DeVito, Illinois has no chance.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement there. Same thing. Let's follow the trend. Arkansas on the road at BYU. Interesting game, non-conference game. If KJ Jefferson can't go, and we find out, and Arkansas is currently a 1.5-point favorite on the road at BYU. Arkansas's biggest issue is their secondary, and Jaren Hall, with a full complement of wide receivers, will tee it up big time against that group. So if KJ Jefferson can't go, this is push all the chips on BYU, but you better get a good indicator early.
Yeah, this is a BYU offense that's really started to struggle once they've played some better competition. But at the same time, with those receivers healthy now, could they potentially give Arkansas a problem? This feels like a get-right game for Arkansas, though. I know it's on the road and they're traveling west, but with Jefferson being back, coming off of
Though? Do we know for sure?
Yeah, based on what I am reading, he'll be back.
Quarterback run killed BYU with Utah State. Now that was a little bit of the element of surprise. And KJ Jefferson is Cooper Legault on steroids. So I think that if I know KJ's going, to me, it's full go on Arkansas. I really like Arkansas. I think you're getting them on sale too, especially knowing that there is some uncertainty there.
Yeah, the only thing you need to worry about is just this string of games and losses. Is it a spot where it's just wearing on them now and the season's kind of spiraling down in a way that they didn't necessarily want it to, or is this a spot where they kind of approach the game with a little more urgency and anger, and they are the better team to go out there and win?
All right, finally, Bear, we'll get your take on this one. LSU and Florida. LSU currently a 2.5-point dog on the road in the Swamp. I'm calling the game. I think these two teams are so similar. So it's very difficult for me to really be able to assess one versus the other. I'll allow you the floor to do that since I'm on the call anyways. Ooh. Is there a lean that you have?
No, there really isn't, because right now you're looking at a Florida offense that is struggling mightily. The forward pass is a big-time problem. And at the same time, LSU is kind of going through those same things. This is probably a situation where it's going to be more of a lower-scoring type game. I would think LSU plus the points might be the play, but I don't feel great about it at all. I think Florida's got a lot of problems, not just on the offensive side of the ball.
Hard to argue with that. I think Florida and LSU both offensively have their fair share of challenges, but they also have their fair share of firepower with their quarterbacks. I mean, there's no telling. I mean, Jaden Daniels or Anthony Richardson goes off. You never know. So it'll be an interesting game there on ESPN late at night on Saturday night. Anything else you love, Bear, as we wind this thing down?
Yeah, I've been looking, and I'm really having a hard time finding something else this week that from a little bit off the board. I think Texas having that road game against Oklahoma State next week, I think it would be normally be
a lot of points.
You want to play against the Longhorns, but at the same time, how can you trust Iowa State? I mean, the quarterback play is terrible. They can't score points. So I'd probably steer clear of that. I mean, Tulane is a team that I really like. You want to lay it's up to 12 now on the road against South Florida with the home game against Memphis next week. So those are a couple that I'm looking at that are a little off of the radar.
What about Duke, North Carolina? Nothing there? Golly, I can't believe you didn't bite there on the triangle rivalry.
Duke's a bad team. Look, North Carolina, it's funny. I mean, I know it's been Miami and Virginia Tech, but they've actually made a couple of plays the last couple of weeks and are looking better. I know they gave up a bunch of passing yards against Miami, but they did get the big fourth down turnover last week. They've got the best quarterback, and they've got the best offense and the best unit on the field. Do I want to lay 7 points? I don't know, but I'd expect North Carolina to win this game.
All right, great stuff, buddy. We really appreciate it, man. Good luck this week, and I know you're going to take it to them and keep hammering the books like you have so far this year.
We're going to try. All those guys put the whammy on me last week on the set when giving me all the props and fired up an 0-3. But that was due after 5 straight 2-1s. You knew I didn't like the week going into the week.
Right,
I knew it was going to be a tough week, and the results on the board and in my contests out in Vegas certainly showed. But this week I feel a lot better about
it. Yeah, last week was a tricky one. There's no denying that. Bear, great stuff, buddy. We'll see you next week.
Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That'll do it for us here at Always College Football. Please like, rate, and subscribe. It really helps us out. It really helps the show out, whether that's on ESPN's YouTube channel or if you're here with us via the podcast on Apple Podcast or on Spotify, please hit us up. It's really, really helpful. And we're just trying to get better and tailor the content to you, so any interaction with us really helps us out. You can also do that on our social media at AlwaysCFB. That's on Instagram or on Twitter. Or you can email the show at alwayscollegefootball@gmail.com. So we appreciate all those interactions, and it really, like I said, we'll get back with you, we'll interact with you, and we'll continue to celebrate this game on a daily basis. For all of us here at Always College Football, for Jack, for Mark, I'm Greg. Hope you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Always College Football. Hey guys, it's Greg McElroy. Thanks for watching Always College Football. Make sure you like, rate, and subscribe to ESPN's YouTube channel and wherever you listen to your podcasts.